Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome to the Drop the Needle podcast, your backstage pass to the corporate jungle. I'm your host, Jim Allstott, and here, industry titans step up to the mic, sharing their epic journeys. We're hitting the high notes and the low notes of their careers, creating a symphony of success. This isn't just another interview show. It's where truth bombs are dropped and secrets are revealed. So grab your conductor's baton, because who knows, this just might help you compose the next huge hit of your career. Are you ready? Let's go. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Drop the Needle podcast. I am your host, Jim Allstott, and I am so happy you all decided to join us. In today's episode, we're going to be discussing what the next exclusive series is for the Drop the Needle podcast. Now, we aren't going to be abandoning the four pillars necessarily. We're just going to be expanding on some of the pillars, specifically pillar two for a little while, as it relates to health and healthcare. My upcoming guests may be way outside of your wheelhouse, or then again, they just might be people you've always found intriguing, but you didn't know how to get in touch with them or get introduced to them. So I hope I'm able to remedy that situation for you. But before we get too far into that, I wanted to touch on a couple of other things. And these other things are more business-related topics. Now, I know that we've already talked about some of this before, but it just keeps popping up. And I've seen some things in news feeds, or at least in the news feeds that I receive lately, discussing the difficulty of finding, quote, good, end quote, and I'm using air quotes there, employees. Essentially, in that same news feed, I also see people looking for jobs that are upset and complaining that they're going in for several interviews with a variety of companies, and they're either not hearing back from the potential employer, or they're not getting any useful feedback, which leaves them feeling, well, useless or inferior. And at the very least, it leaves them feeling unemployable. And I'm sure that there's a laundry list of derogatory self-talk as well. But so I want to touch on both of these subjects right now. Okay, so we're going to start with the employer. And recently I heard from a hiring manager who happens to be a friend of mine. And he was saying, well, you know, I've interviewed 15 people and none of them are worth a damn. And okay, so what does that mean? And again, so this is a friend of mine. So I asked him just that. What does that mean? Does it mean out of the 15 people that none of them were hireable candidates? Maybe. And then I was like, well, could it mean your job description isn't accurate? Okay. So listen, if you pull out a 10-year-old job description from your desk drawer and dust it off, do you think it's really a good representation of what the job is today? Well, maybe, but I doubt it. But maybe. Could interviewing 15 people and not one of them be, again, worth the damn, mean you're not interviewing well? And that maybe your interviewing skills just aren't up to snuff? Maybe, right? Or this is another thing that I had asked as well. Did you sit on that stack of resumes that were on your desk because you just couldn't get to them? And so I found out there was about 40 people that were just sitting on his desk. And so when he got to the 40 people, I had asked, when you got to those 40 people and only 15 were still available, was that after you waited a week or 10 days to move on them? Could the people that are available still be on that second tier? And what I mean by second tier is perhaps they needed more training or more education or something like that. And did the other 25 people that were in that stack of 40 get snatched up by other organizations that were maybe better prepared and ready to act on hiring somebody? Well, maybe that's true. But I'd like you to remember this phrase, and it is the phrase that pays for all of you hiring managers out there. And please remember this: time kills all deals. Time kills all deals. Remember that. And let's go ahead and take a look at these things one at a time for a moment. And my guess is, at the end of the day, it was a combo platter, and probably less to do with the people coming in and more to do with the tools my friend had when he was interviewing the people, right? So again, let's go ahead and address each one of these. Number one, is your job description accurate? Is your job description accurate? Look at it. Actually take some time to read through it and see if it makes sense to you. Because I can tell you this, if it doesn't make sense to you, how in the hell do you think it's going to make sense to somebody who's coming off the street and coming into your organization for the very first time? If it has outdated systems or machinery or locations, update your job description. And please, for the love of God, don't make a job description that resembles a honey-do list. And okay, so how many of you out there cringe at the sight of a freaking honey-do list? Well, I do. I cringe at that because it looks like an endless list of shit that you need to do. And okay, so I had a client a few years ago that hired me to find their next plant manager and asked if I could do a couple of additional searches while I was at it. And they were for production assistants. And I said, of course, yeah, sure. I'll take a look at it and just send me the job description. And when we talk tomorrow about the plant manager role, we'll discuss that. So I get the call and we're going through the plant manager role, and then the topic changed to the production assistant roles. And I told them I couldn't help them. And I know that sounds strange, but that's what I said. And of course, the next question is, well, why? And I let them know that the job description for the production assistant was longer and more detailed and involved than the plant manager position. Now, let that sink in for just a second. So if somebody is a production assistant or a machine operator, this job description was quite literally almost twice as long and more detailed than the plant manager job description, which, by the way, was absolutely fine. And so let me tell you this. I usually will rewrite the job descriptions for everyone so it's more in line with the company and what they're looking for and the values and all of those things, the culture. But if you're doing this and you're writing the job yourself, do yourself a favor. don't make it a 72 bullet point, redundant, nonsensical job description, because I can tell you that people stop reading at about bullet point 15. Okay? Two, could interviewing 15 people and not one of them being worth a damn reflect on your ability to interview? Do you need to sharpen your interviewing skills? Be honest with that, right? If it's been a while, or you're not very good at it, or you're not very comfortable with interviewing, how do you get good at something? And how do you get better at something, right? How do you improve? Well, you improve by practicing. You practice, practice, practice. You can ask one of your peers, ask a mentor. Hell, even reach out to me. I'll help you. I'll find some information. I'll get it in your hands. I'll send you something. I'll spend some time on a call with you. That's fine. But you have to practice. Okay? The other thing is, know what the job is. Ask questions about the job and the job at hand, but also ask what the person likes to do outside of work, maybe what they're passionate about. And why would you do that, you ask? Because you want to see if that person matches your culture within your company, your company's culture, your team's culture. You're looking for that. Now, here's another phrase that pays. Birds of a feather flock together. Or as we like to say in the talent acquisition realm or recruiting, what have you, likes hire likes. Because let me tell you, folks, when somebody comes to work for you, they spend more time with you in your company, in that building, more conscious, engaged, waking hours with you than they do with anyone else. So you want to make sure that they're a fit that way too, right? Does that make sense? Okay. So three, did you sit on that stack of resumes that were on your desk because you just couldn't get to them? Again, we're going to go back to that time kills all deals. So my friend said that 15 out of 40, so 25 people were no longer available. Well, was that because he didn't have everything together and wasn't able to interview them or call them in time? There's a real good chance that that was the case. So you have to ask yourself this. Is this job important enough for you to do something about it? Is it causing you pain or one of your managers' pain or your team's pain? If the answer is yes, then make it a priority and get to it. Look at the resumes before you come into work, during lunch. Block off some time to get it done before this. Okay? Before the challenge or the pain of interviewing for one open position becomes two or three, because that could very well be the situation. Think about it. So if you have that person that's taking up the slack, just absolutely grinding it out, extra hours, killing themselves, trying to make sure that those jobs get done, you're beating them up, right? So after you've sufficiently waited long enough and beaten up your team long enough that they quit, you're going to have to do some more hiring than you had anticipated. So get to it. Make it a priority. Make sure it gets done. Don't sleep on those things, because I'm going to tell you right now, as a hiring manager, there are talented people out there. But I'm also going to tell you this. If you like them, others are going to like them too. So what does that mean? Time kills all deals, right? Remember that saying that I threw out there. Remember that, right? Do you remember it? Time kills all deals. Keep things moving. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to cut corners or do something that you normally wouldn't do. Still do your due diligence. It just means you have to do it. You can't just think about it or sit on things. Just do it. Okay. Now, for you job seekers out there, we're going to go on the other side of the table right now. So for you job seekers out there, I'm going to go through this somewhat quickly, but I'm going to take enough time that we hit some very important things, okay? Let me ask you this. Do you prepare for your interview? Do you prepare for your interview? Or do you just show up and think, hey, I'm awesome. They'd be lucky to hire me. I might not even accept their job offer. I wonder how much they're going to pay me. If this is you, it's time to maybe put that way of thinking on the shelf. And I'll tell you why. Because there are people out there interviewing for jobs, and there are companies hiring people for jobs. They are not hiring people that just simply show up for an interview and act as though you're doing them a favor by not ghosting them for that interview. Prepare. So let me ask you, if you didn't prepare for an exam when you were in school, would you get an A? Would you get a good grade on it? Now, some people can say yes, right? Because some people are just outstanding test takers. But most of us would not. So why would you think that if you didn't prepare for a test and you wouldn't do well, that you could go into an interview and not prepare and do well? It's really the same premise, right? It's the same thing. Prepare. Prepare. So what does that mean? So what does preparing mean? Okay. It can mean a few different things. You could research the company, right? Make sure you do that, by the way. Research the company, what they do. How long have they been doing it? Who are some of their competitors? Have they been in the news lately for some accomplishments? Does that make sense? Here's something else. Know the job description and what's expected in terms of skills as well as responsibilities. Now, in that same vein, know your resume too, right? There are so many people that go into an interview and they're like, is that on my resume? Are you sure? I mean, literally, people don't know what's on their resume because, you know, not everybody does their own resume, or they have a professional resume writer do it for them, or they have some friends or family or something like that put a resume together, which is great. Absolutely fantastic. It's good to have folks that are backing you up like that. However, you need to know what's on it too, right? You need to know what's on your resume. So let's go back to the job description here. So you need to go a few steps further with that too. How does what they want in that job description line up with what you want to do? How does it line up with what you've done so far? And this is important. Have examples of things that you've accomplished as it relates to that job description. And this is an opportunity, and I'm going to throw this out there. And it may be new to some of you, but others may be very familiar with it. It's called the STAR method. And the STAR method is, or stands for, situation, task, action, result. You know, back in the day, I used to call it lemons to lemonade. I wasn't cool enough to come up with an acronym for STAR, situation, task, action, result. But it's fantastic. And that should be the outline for your answers. You know, as it relates to the description of your accomplishments, you know, whenever you're talking about something like that, it's good to have the STAR method as your outline. So this is the situation, the, you know, what hits the fan, and I was tasked with cleanup, and I was tasked with doing this. So this is what I did. I was responsible for, and as a result, we were able to accomplish ba 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 ba. I was responsible for, and as a result, we were able to ba 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 ba. And so the reason I say that, and I've repeated this because it's very important, is because we as human beings are pack animals, and we say we all the time. We all the way home without that job offer in hand. Okay? So, you know, here's another example of that. I have a friend who's a hiring manager for a coding company. And coatings, like paints and coatings. And he brought somebody in for a production manager role that, and this guy was it. I mean, it was a done deal. Everybody was like, you know what? Don't even bother. This is the guy. So he goes in and he interviews. And after the interview, my buddy would always call me back and say, yeah, well, here we go. We're ready to go. Great job, as usual. But, you know, I didn't get that this time. Instead, I got, no, I'm just going to pass. I'm like, what do you mean? You can't pass on. He goes, no, I'm going to pass. Okay. And it was like, well, why? And he said, I couldn't tell what the hell this guy did. I kept asking him. And I asked him three different ways to find out what the hell he was doing, and I couldn't find it out. So I don't have time for this. Next person. And so I called the applicant, and I was like, well, what happened? And he said, well, you know, I told him that we did this and we did that. And I was like, okay. I said, do you remember? I had asked him, do you remember when we talked and you would tell me how you were responsible for something? You said, I was responsible for boom. And in the interview, you didn't do that. And he said, no, I didn't do that because I didn't want him to think that I was arrogant and that I did it by myself and that everything was done in a vacuum and that it was a team effort. Teamwork makes the dream work. Well, that's great. But we're still looking. So that little blurb there, remember that I was responsible for, and as a result, we. So here's the whole deal with the interview thing from the job seeker side. The company has not had the pleasure or luxury of working with you. So they don't know what your work ethic is like. They don't know how creative you are. So what do they have to go on? They have the way in which you answer the questions to go on. Explain the answers with enough detail that they can see your thought process, right? By the way you word paint to give your answers. Does that make sense? And I hope it really does. So here's the other thing. And it's something that I think is very important. Have you ever, if you've ever been in the interview chair, or somebody doesn't have any questions at the interview, no, I'm great, and you've answered them all, I'm good. That just kind of leaves things flat, doesn't it? I mean, it does to me. So let me ask you this. And I'm going to fill in the blank because it's just me. It's just me in the studio today. So you haven't experienced me talking to myself. Well, I guess I am talking. No. Okay. So anyway, there you have it. That was an example. So if you're interested in something, what do you do? And I want you to think about this for a second. If you're interested in, let's say, a car, or okay, let's just stick with the car. There's a particular car that you want to go test drive, and you start doing what? You start asking questions, right? How many miles per gallon? What's the horsepower? What's the braking distance from 60 down to zero? What's the this and what's the that? What's this? Hell, the same thing goes for a camera, a computer. If you're married, your wife or your girlfriend or your partner, significant other, think about it from this. I mean, this may be kind of silly, but think about it when you were maybe in high school or something. And it'd be like, oh, you just talk for hours. And it'd be like 2 o'clock in the morning, 2:30 in the morning. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. You could be on the phone all night, right? Asking question after question after question because you're interested. You are interested. So have some freaking questions to ask an employer. And I don't mean how much do I get paid? When is payday? How much vacation do I get? Can I work from home? You know, those sort of things. You don't want that. What you want is more strategic type questions. And I have a few favorites, and this is one of my favorites. And it may seem like a very simple question, but it's really good. So feel free to use it. So if somebody, you're being interviewed by someone and they say, well, do you have any questions? Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. What's the first thing I can do for you when I walk through those doors? What's the first thing I can do for you when I walk through those doors? So here's the thing. Interviewing is old school, and I don't care if it's 2020, 2022, 2023, 24. I don't care if it's 2038. Interviewing is old school. And what I mean by that is it's a given that you're doing work for money, right? There's some sort of financial gain. It's a mutually beneficial situation. But what they want to know is that you want to go to work for them for things above and beyond the money. So John F. Kennedy, in his famous speech, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. It's the same premise as it relates to interviewing. Ask not what the company can do for you, but what you can do for the company. Does that make sense? So that's why this question is so good. What's the first thing I could do for you when I walk through those doors? It really hits home JFK's speech that it's greater good. It's more than just me. And what it really does, though, check this out. It lets you know what the expectations are, number one. It lets you know what you're walking into, number two. But most importantly, it gives you the opportunity to sell your experience, to promote yourself in such a manner that they say, yeah, this person gets it. And so I hope that makes sense. So here's the other thing. So let's say that person, you get asked that question, do you have any questions? Well, yeah, what's the first thing I could do for you when I walk through those doors? And they say, well, we really need somebody to come in here and do A, B, and C. Your answer should be, that's great. That's fantastic. I love doing A, B, and C. As a matter of fact, last time I did A, B, and C with my company, I was responsible for A, and as a result, we were able to accomplish A, B, and C. You get that? So again, we're tying it back into, that's not what your country, your company can do for you, but what you can do for your company. But you're giving examples and you're tying it in as to they're asking you a specific situation, skill set be used, or an accomplishment, and you're able to answer that passionately. Make sense? So I'll give you one more. And this is a good one. And it's a nice transition because it's near the end of the interview. And do you have any further questions? Yeah, I have one last question. After meeting with me today, is there any reason that you can think of that I would not be a good fit for this role? After meeting with me today, is there any reason that you can think of that I wouldn't be a good fit for this role? Why would you ask that? Okay. So the first reason is this. And again, if you've ever interviewed somebody and things are going along and you're having a good time, sometimes you just get derailed a little bit and all of a sudden the interview time is up and you got to go and you didn't ask a particular question. And with that, you didn't get to find out about a particular skill set or set of skills or experience. It's assumed when you don't ask that question, it's assumed that the person doesn't have that experience. And I don't know if that makes sense or not, but it goes like this. So if you don't talk about it, if you don't talk about it in your interview and you're interviewing, you as the interview naturally assume that it wasn't important enough for them to bring it up in the interview. Therefore, they don't have those skills. That's natural. So don't think anything less of yourself. Don't overthink it, okay? Just know that that happens. So how do we counteract that? We counteract that by, after meeting with me today, is there any reason that you can think of that I wouldn't be a good fit for this role? And that opens the door for questions. And so we, yeah, well, you don't, you know what? We really didn't talk about GMP experience. So I'm assuming you don't have any GMP experience. Well, no, as a matter of fact, I've got 20 years of GMP experience. And most recently, my experience was da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay. Or on the other hand, this is a good one too, but it's another situation. Let's say that the interview says, no, I can't think of any single reason, not of a single reason that you wouldn't be a good fit for this. Here's where we go into action mode. This is the last thing is that interview that person looks for, right? Great. So thank you for your time. It was great meeting you today. I want you to know that I'm very interested in this opportunity. What do you need from me to take it to the next step? That's the best way to say that. And what does it do? So, you know, the other way of telling somebody's interested, by the way, is just to say, I'm interested. I'm really interested in that. Again, handshake, good eye contact. That's great. It was fantastic meeting you today. I want you to know before I leave, I'm very interested in this opportunity. What do you need from me to take it to the next step? Now, it's not forward. What it is, though, is it's assertive. It's not pushy. It's not cocky. It's none of those things. All it's saying is that you are very interested in that opportunity in the company and you want things to keep moving forward. And if they say, wow, you know, we're going to meet, you know, so they won't, though. As a matter of fact, they're not going to. So when you say that, you ask, what do you need from me to take it to the next step or keep things moving forward? Well, more than likely, they're going to say, well, we're going to meet and we should have an answer for you by boom, whatever the date is. So do that. Okay. Don't forget this, though, too. Thank you. And here's something that is going to set you apart. Thank yous, I should say. Thank you letters. It's going to set you apart from everybody else. It's also going to close the loop on the interview process. The old thank you note. It's going to go a long way. So make sure that you have their business card, the business card of everyone you met, their title, their email. And by the way, I know that there's probably hundreds of examples of thank you notes on the internet. So if you Google that, if you need some help with it, and if you've never done it or you haven't done it in a while, Google it. So here's the other thing. I guess there's a lot of other things as it relates to preparing for an interview. And I don't know that I can help everyone. However, if you do need some help, reach out to me. You know, if there's a number of you that would like to get together and like to learn about that, that's fine. I can put us all on a Zoom conference call or, you know, Zoom conference and we can knock it out. Okay. And I do mean it. So don't hesitate. You can reach out and I'll do that for you. So there you have it. But, oh, you know what? There is one other thing too. I think it's important for you to know the who, what, where when's of the interview too. And what I mean by that is who should you ask for when you arrive at the facility? That's very important. The day is very important. The time is very important. And the what to wear. Don't be afraid to ask the hiring manager, is it business casual or is it formal? You want people to be comfortable. You want to be comfortable. But I can tell you that if they're formal and you come in Dockers or, you know, khaki slacks, I guess Dockers aren't even around anymore. That's just showed my age. But if you come in with casual pants and a polo shirt or something like that, and they're all wearing suits, you're not going to be comfortable. And vice versa. If you come in with a suit and everybody else is wearing their company logo polo shirts or something along those lines, you're not going to feel comfortable, and nor are they feel that. I can tell you that that goes the other way too. So as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we're going to have an exclusive series of the podcast that includes guests who are maybe not on your radar all the time, but they're energy healers, medical intuitives, mediums, people who can help you align with your higher calling and greater good. And I'm very excited to give you a sneak peek on the guest list. And these are just a few, okay? So we're going to have Ms. Jennifer Weigel, and Jen is an award-winning journalist. She's one of my favorite authors. As a matter of fact, I shouldn't even say one. She's my favorite author. She's a star on stage and screen. And most recently, I saw Jen on the stage for her one-woman show called I'm Spiritual, Damn It, which was absolutely amazing. Jen has such a stage presence. And I mean, she is truly something. She's a dynamo. Oh, she's also a friend of our show and a friend of mine. So I'm very excited about that. We're also going to have Irene Doresti, all the way from Long Island, New York. She's a Long Island medium and coach. And I tease because I absolutely love Irene. I mean, she is fantastic. She's one of my favorite people in the whole world and just one of my dearest friends. We're also going to have Ms. Christine Allison on, who happens to be a medical intuitive. And what's a medical intuitive, you ask? Well, tune in and find out. That's about it on that. I don't want to give too much away, like I said. And this is a new one for me, so bear with me a little bit. As anyone who's listened to the show before knows, this is where we start asking the musical questions, and this is pillar four. And as I always say, music is the tie that binds, and everyone has a soundtrack accompanying their lives if they just stop and take a moment to think about it. So here we go, and these questions are for me today. So here goes number one. What was the first song you fell in love with from the radio? Well, I got to tell you, as you can imagine, I don't have just one. So, spoiler, I'm going to give you a few. And for this one, what's the first song I fell in love from the radio? Number one is Drift Away by Dobie Gray. And number two is, or was, Locomotion by Grand Funk Railroad. And that was really cool. So I remember both of those, actually, singing it on the bus, because Mr. Fish, who was our bus driver, was cool and cranked the radio for us in the mornings on the way to school. So at Grand Prairie Elementary. Question number two, did your family have songs that they would belt out on road trips? Well, believe it or not, we really didn't. When we went on road trips as a family, it would also include my grandparents too. And what we do is we typically play games in the back. And this is when I was so young. or we'd read, or we play travel games or mini board games or something like that. But as I got a little bit older, you know, that changed. But, and one I can really remember, and this is a college road trip. So I know it's different, but I didn't have brothers or sisters. So these guys were really my brothers. So we went on a road trip down to Florida, and it was Nooney, Noid, Stutz, and I. And we were driving down to Florida, and the way down there, especially when I was behind the wheel, it was Delametri. And this one particular road trip, I remember the accompanying music was Delametri, and the song was Stone Cold Sober. Fantastic. Nobody else had ever heard it before, before that time on that road trip. So by the time we got to Florida, man, everybody was hooked, and they were screaming the words, man, out the window. It was fantastic. As a matter of fact, the entire CD is pretty solid. Next question here. Okay, I could ramble on about music all day. What was your high school anthem? And I got to tell you, this was another tough one for me, because we're talking 1984 was when I was a senior. So in 1984, we had Van Halen 1984, and that had Jump and all of the songs. And we had Sammy Hagar, we had Motley Crue, we had Ronnie James Dio, Holy Diver. We had Night Ranger was on the scene. Bon Jovi was on the scene. Bon Jovi Runaway. That was Bon Jovi album. By the way, on the side note, there's a series on Hulu that was fantastic about Bon Jovi and start to where they are now. Just crazy. Scorpions. Holy shit, I forgot about the Scorpions. So there's really a smorgasbord of anthems available at that time. So I don't know. I'm just gonna go with Van Halen Jump. Okay. The other one, did your musical taste change after high school while you were in college? And I have to say, I had a fairly eclectic musical taste as long as I can remember, but I was introduced to U2, Echo and the Bunnymen, Depeche Mode, The Cure, The House Martin. So it really wasn't a change per se, because the old stuff stuck around. But I can certainly say that I added to the mixtape, if that makes sense. But there were two songs in particular that I would sing for my friends. So I was in a fraternity, Phi Sigma Kappa at Illinois State University. And I'd always get asked to sing two songs in particular. One was Under the Boardwalk. So I'd sing that, and they would sing along, and it was always fun. And Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me, I sang for the fraternity, and I sang in a competition, a fraternal competition. And that was cool. With Pasta, Tony Anthony Napolitano. Sorry if I mention your name, and I'll reach out to you and make sure it's okay, but I don't think you'll have a problem. So on to the next question. What are your top five songs on your hype playlist? And as the previous guest, episode 11, Mandy Pullen-Barr, had mentioned, she said, oh, I'm so sorry I took yours. And was like, you didn't take anything of mine. It was Katrina and the Waves, Walking on Sunshine. And love that song. And I mentioned it in episode 1. And I absolutely love that song. There's another one, How You Like Me Now by The Heavy. Sabotage by Beastie Boys, Monkey Wrench by the Foo Fighters, love the Foo, and dig this one, Are You Ready by Creed. That is a good one. You guys are going to be able to hear that one on the playlist for sure. So buckle up, buttercup. Next question. So the next question, what are the five songs you believe could alter the future of the world if people really listen? And these aren't in any particular order, but Redemption Song by Bob Marley, Lean on Me, Bill Withers, Save the Roses by Lee Bryce, We Shall Be Free by Garth Brooks, and One Day by Modest Yahoo. Sorry about that, as I need a little drink here. Sorry. So no surprise. I'm also going to add one more, a bonus song, which is One Love, another reggae song, One Love by Bob Marley. And I would urge all of you to listen to the words. I mean, lean on me when you're not strong. I'll be your friend if you can't carry on. You know, that's leaning on each other, right? It's fantastic. Save the Roses is a song that I absolutely love, and it's because he's talking about at the end of his life, and that his perspective is not in the box that's everybody's feeling bad and crying and dropping roses. And it's like, save the roses and don't feel bad. Don't waste your time. Don't waste the flowers. Don't waste any of that. Just remember me for where I was before. Remember me when we were doing cool stuff and having fun, because that's the guy. That's me. Not the guy in the box in front of you. That's not me. I'm not here, right? So that's that. It's just really cool. The other one is We Shall Be Free. So a little story on this. When I was in Costa Rica, there was a talent contest at the end or near the end of the retreat. And I was asked to sing, and I wasn't going to sing because my voice is, quite honestly, I ruined my voice. I damaged my vocal cords a couple of years ago coaching baseball on a cold, windy day, trying to yell instructions to the outfield, and it just blew out my cords. But I was asked to sing, and I initially, of course, said no, nope, 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 can't do it. And then I thought, you know what? I'm going to sing. And what would I sing for all of these people? And the people that were there were such a mixed bag of individuals. And I mean that in a very kind and loving way, by the way, because I absolutely adore each and every one of them. And they were magnificent. So part of that, of the We Shall Be Free, is you're free to love anyone you choose. I'm talking about genders. It could be same sex marriages. Love is love, right? So it doesn't matter. The world's big enough for all different views. When you're free to worship from your own kind of pews, we shall be free. So I probably won't be able to get the Garth Brooks song to put on the playlist because of his rights that he's exercised in that. But I'll try to get the song. But We Shall Be Free is such an incredible song. And I guess the unfortunate thing for me is I think everybody was just caught up in the fact that I was singing, which is cool. Love that. Thank you. That they didn't necessarily hear the lyrics, which is why I chose them specifically for that group of people, because they were all different and we all came together. They were from different walks of life, different parts of the world, and they were all amazing. So that's why I put it in there. Okay. And there are songs, the next question. So there are songs, you know, that ring so true that they just stop you in your tracks. And those lyrics sound like they're written specifically for you. No surprise here. I've got two. One is George Strait, Across My Heart. And so why is this one so special? It's so special because I sang it when my wife and I got married. And a quick story about that was, it's kind of cool, is it was a complete surprise to her. We went and we picked up our marriage license so we could have it and that we could potentially go on, you know, like a destination type of thing. So we got it and we were ready to go. And what I did was, there was a coworker of mine that happened to be an ordained minister. And I had asked him to come to our house when we had the family over for the family Christmas party. And so we had everybody there. So everybody knew that we were going to get married that day, with the exception of one person, and that was my wife. So when Matt came to our house, it was like, well, what are you doing here? She answered the door. So what are you doing here? And what he was doing there was, it was kind of cool to say the least, is to marry us in our house and surprised her. And another cool part of that was that I sang Across My Heart. I crossed my heart. So that was it. And I remember just saying, I can't look at you. I won't get through it to my wife. The second one that I have is a Lee Brice, another Lee Brice song, because I think he's incredibly talented as far as a songwriter and performer for that matter. And there's a song that he's written called I Drive Your Truck. And that song, when I heard it, was as if he saw me driving my dad's truck after he passed away. And he talks about the change in the ashtray, hat on the dash, boots and shirt in the back. And that was my dad's truck. He had a coin purse in his ashtray. Who carries a coin purse? A Plainfield National Bank green coin purse from probably 1970. My dad did. That's who. And that was that. And by the way, you'll get a chance to listen to that one because I can get that one on there. So, and it's just a real cool song to me. What's the song that best describes you or your company currently? This is a Prince song. It's called Sexy MF. Sexy MF. I'm just going to leave it right there. You'll get to listen to it. It's fantastic. It's just, I love that song. Who's your favorite artist and what's the song? Well, I truly have so many favorite artists. It's ridiculous. It's just like stupid ridiculous. But Billy Joel would be the one I'd have to go with today. But yesterday or over the weekend, it could have easily been Bon Jovi because watching the thing on Hulu. But Billy Joel today. And the song would be Rosalinda's Eyes from the 52nd Street album. More in true fashion, scenes from an Italian restaurant from The Stranger, because that makes it two, and I just can't have one. But I love those songs. And I'll for sure put Rosalinda's Eyes on there because a lot of people know Scenes from Italian Restaurant. It's fantastic. You guys can find it, no problem. Maybe I'll just put it on there as a bonus track. I don't know. But for sure, Rosalinda's Eyes from 52nd Street. Another solid album, by the way. I mean, it's just solid. Well, it's just about time to cue the music for today's episode. But don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to the Drop the Needle podcast to stay up to date on our latest episodes. I would also like to take a moment to thank everyone again for tuning in today. And I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Drop the Needle podcast. I'm the special guest, so there's really no need to thank me. I love being here, and I'm so happy to be a part of this, truly. And I would like to invite you to head on over to our show notes, where there's a link to the playlist from today's episode. And I've got one more thing to tell you. So I've got some t-shirts, by the way, Drop the Needle podcast t-shirts, and I have three different designs. I'm going to have a fourth design coming up pretty soon. So if you're interested in a cool Drop the Needle podcast t-shirt, I'll have those available for y'all very soon. Also coffee mugs. Who doesn't want a Drop the Needle coffee mug? For real. There's also shaker bottles, the insulated bottles or cups, but they're water bottles like that. Mouse pads. It's pretty much whatever you want. We can do that for you. So I am so excited about that. All right, my Drop the Needle posse, like Billy Joel says, from the highs to the lows to the end of our show, this is the end of our show. Until next time, this is Jim Allstott wishing you infinite health and happiness and the perfect playlist for your life. Thanks for being the best part of us. Catch you next time.
Time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana.
Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.